When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast where we discuss the famous and infamous runs and story arcs throughout the history of comics. I'm Paul Matthew Carr, and with me, as always, Brian Reese.
Hey, Paul Carr.
How are you today, Brian? Okay.
All right. these are tough times.
Yes, they are. And that leads me to a little brief introduction here. Before I begin, I just want to give everyone a heads up about what's happening around the Collected Edition studios. And by studios, I mean, of course, my basement and Brian's living room. Due to events that are happening in the world, Brian and I have had our schedule shaken up a bit. And because of that, our free time doesn't quite sync up the way it used to. And there have been long gaps between episodes, and we're very much aware of that. So in order to fill up those gaps, we've decided to do some shorter bonus content like this, just to keep content coming out.
And timely.
And not to mention, we like to chat from time to time.
Yeah.
So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to discuss some breaking news. News has broken. And that is that... I didn't break it, by the way.
No.
And that is that DC has announced that it will be cutting ties with Diamond Distributors. A statement from DC says, after 25 years, DC and Diamond Comic Distributors are ending their long-standing relationship. Moving forward, comic book retailers can obtain their DC books from Penguin Random House, or their books and periodicals through Lunar or UCS comic book distributors. So, Brian, DC's ending their relationship with Diamond Distributors. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's tricky, right? I mean, all of this is tricky. Everything is shaken up as far as all of this stuff goes. So I think it should be noted that I believe these two companies, UCS and Lunar, one is Midtown Comics.
Yes. I think that's...
And the other is DCBS, or Discount Comic Book Service, which is weird because they're renaming themselves as distributors. And I think initially an attempt was made, because DC did this a month or two ago.
Yes, well...
During all of this, where they switched some distribution initially to get some already in the can, let's call it, comic books out to various retailers, or if not retailers, brick and mortar, to retailers on the internet webs.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, but DC's already been telegraphing this change for a while now.
Yes. You know,
with their Target and Walmart exclusives and
launch
of the streaming service. And, you know, just the push towards, collected editions, you know, sold in bookstores. I mean, they've been really pushing that the last over a year now. This did not come as a surprise to me.
Right. It shouldn't have been a surprise. And... I think it's very important to note who the two distributors actually are in real life versus their new distributor names. So DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service, and Midtown Comics. Midtown Comics, of course, is based in New York. It's one of the major comic book companies out there, both in terms of brick and mortar and in internet distribution. And DCBS is, I believe, and people could fact check, I tried to fact check a little bit on this, DCBS is probably the largest actually pre-order internet fulfillment company out there. And I think they're based in, I think they're in Indiana at this point. They were in Memphis. They were in Indiana, Memphis, I don't know.
I couldn't see or not. Do these have ties with, because, you know, there was a big merger buyout by AT&T recently, who bought Time Warner, which owns DC Comics. And I was trying to find out if these distributors are actually associated with AT&T, and do they have ties? Are they subsidiaries?
I don't believe so. I believe that they are still independent, although they're very large in terms of the internet or in terms of comic book distribution, basically fulfillment. So there's a couple issues. First of all, you know, there's rumors swirling. Everybody is reacting. This just dropped 2 days ago, as of our recording. And so there's all kinds of rumors swirling, none of which are proven. There's questions about will Diamond cut ties with DCBS and Midtown. That seems like personally shooting oneself in the foot.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, you know, Diamond, I don't know, I have conflicting feelings, which I'm sure we'll get into this in a moment, right. But 30% of Diamond's revenue comes from DC Comics.
Right.
And that's a massive loss for them.
Yes.
So they're scrambling to keep their business model alive. And they've already, because of the COVID-19 lockdown, they've already announced that they were going to pay their vendors not full sums, but little pieces, little monthly payments. And people were already wondering if they were financially solvent in the first place.
Right.
So well, this is a massive hit.
And I think it should be noted that we need to say right at the top, Diamond is a monopoly. And so I think going forward, we have opinions on that, I believe.
My pseudo-Marxist beliefs, it's like monopolies are bad.
Right. Exactly. And I think we both agree. And I think one of the initial problematic things that I see, I've tried to lay off too much gossiping and too much kerfuffling out there, but I am intrigued by all of the comic book shop owners and comic book dealers and whatnot who have made hay over years and years and years of bitching and moaning about Diamond being a monopoly and complaining about Diamond nonstop. And some of these folks, and anyone who follows comic book news probably knows some of them, are now suddenly just verklempt about new distributors for comics.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with suddenly there's a system in place. It's been in place for 25 years.
Sure.
And suddenly, oh, by the way, in 3 weeks, it's all going to change. So figure it out. And we're in the middle of a pandemic. And there's, you know, the country's kind of having some issues right now. So there's a lot going on. And suddenly this happens. So there's already a lot of economic burden on these stores to begin with.
Right.
And then this happens. So I think that plays into it a lot.
There's concern about the pivot.
Right. If we were in a perfect time, this would be difficult. You know, DC could have, you know, kind of given everybody a heads up and say six months from now, we're going to do this. But no, mm-hmm. they're going with 3 weeks. And that's tough. I mean, I do feel for these smaller companies. I mean, that's where my confliction comes in my head. Mm-hmm. You know, I have this notion that monopolies are bad and competition will make things better. However, you don't want to screw people over while you're making changes,
it's a bomb. A bomb dropped, right. Essentially.
Unfortunately, everyone else is going to get hurt except DC.
Yes and no. I mean,
well, there's a lot of just so everyone knows, I live in Colorado, and so the big comic book company that's been around here since 1974, I think, or 72. Is Mile High Comics. And they sent out a newsletter today, just before we recorded, that they will be running a DC Sucks 50% off sale. They put out a very long, impassioned newsletter detailing the problems. And it's and very well articulated, by the way.
Right.
And very emotional. So they detailed the problems and of the split and how it will adversely affect 2,000 plus comic book shops and people's livelihoods. So they're right to be upset,
Yes,
I can already see.
We could argue that, you know, Mile High Comics is notoriously overpriced on their back stock, so 50% off might actually take them into actual market value for the comics. And that's the cynical part of me.
I have no affiliation with Mile High Comics. I just live in the area, but they're kind of an institution, and I'm reluctant to step on their toes.
Well, sure. And I mean, the owner has done some really great things, particularly recently, in social justice and things like that. So, which I absolutely,
I said, it's been an institution for decades, and
right. We all saw in our old comics, there's the Mile High list,
right?
There was always that, the ad, mail order from Mile High. And so, yeah, but.
No, I remember moving here as an adult and seeing Mile High Comics, and I went, there it is. It's the Bastion.
It's a real place.
Yeah.
It's not just a page on my comic books.
So again, we're not being paid by Mile High to talk about them anyway.
We are not. Well, yeah, particularly now we're not.
Yeah.
Sorry, Paul.
Yeah, but I only mention that because I think this is going to be the first wave of anti-DC sentiment. And if you thought the Marvel-DC divide was a little huge in the past, I think it's going to get worse online.
Right. So, you know, we run into the problem of large corporations treating comics as property and licensed property versus a creative endeavor.
Right.
And I realize creative endeavors have nothing to do with finances. They don't help a small local comic book store. Unless you're writing The Watchmen or Sandman or what have you, but you know, or Fables that do help comic book stores because of the quality of the product being put out, which then by word of mouth creates foot traffic, et cetera, et cetera. But this isn't about creativity, right? This is a corporate decision.
Yeah. This is a bottom line financial decision.
This is a bottom line financial decision made by people who view comics
as a commodity.
Well, it is a commodity.
Well,
I mean, comic books have to make money. If they don't make money, then they're not a viable concern.
But this is where the conflict comes in, because you have people like you and me and most of the people listening to this right now. Mm-hmm. Who see it not as a commodity, but as a passion.
Yes.
You know, something, it's not just entertainment. It's something you collect, and it's something you learn about. It's historic. It's artistic. It's intellectual. It's everything. Mm-hmm. It's
nostalgia, and there's nothing wrong with nostalgia.
Yeah, and it's a huge personal, it goes beyond a hobby. It's a personal passion.
Yes.
But then the people producing these things see it as a way to make money, see it as a product.
Right.
Which it is, and that's where the conflict comes in, because there are many people who see the same thing in many different ways.
Yeah. Well, and I think, but at the end of the day, if it can't sustain itself, it can't be a thing. And so, you know, we can personally be upset, but, you know, sometimes it's not about us. This is not me making an excuse or allowance for corporate licensing and corporate genericizing of the thing that we love. But business decisions are made. And I'm with you. Politically, I'm with you in terms of, I don't like corporations. I don't like monopoly, but at the same time, I don't like monopolies, and this is tricky territory.
Yes, it's very tricky territory, and you know, the arguments we're making, you know, there's the argument for diversity, which is also a business decision in order to open up the market to a wider range of people to buy your product. At the same time, it's a good thing that more people are going to be able to see this art form in different ways and more in a more inclusive kind of way. So business decisions and creative decisions can go hand in hand.
Right.
So and you can't just that, rule that out. At the same time, this is a decision that's probably going to hurt a lot of people.
Yes. I don't think I'm not offering like, yeah. I don't think you, either you or I have offered an actual opinion on whether this is good or bad. And I don't know.
I don't either. I don't know how this is going
to
play out.
I've had 2 days to process this. I've seen numerous articles, even though I've tried to stay away, and I've seen numerous articles. I've seen numerous people championing this, and I've seen numerous people not. And we don't know ultimately what this is going to mean. I think part of this is the move towards collected editions.
Towards collected editions.
Yes, there's our another plug.
Yeah, well, it suits our format, but at the same time.
Yeah, so the Random House Penguin thing is interesting, and I remember you and I both worked for the same very large independent bookstore in Denver back in the day.
Yeah.
I was one of the buyers. At some point, I was the graphic novel buyer for this particular store.
And I say, you did a very fine job. That section was brilliant back in the day.
Yes, it was. I did good work.
Yes, she did.
But I remember we got our graphic novels came from Little Brown.
Mm-hmm.
DC graphic novels came from Little Brown. And some of that was Warner and all the various subsidiaries, and who can keep track at this point. And it's very interesting that it's going, that is now Random House Penguin.
Well, that's an AT&T thing.
Yes.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. I think. And this gets really deep into, you know, sort of corporate whatever, but their DC trades do way better than Marvel trades. And part of that is it's through things like Scholastic, it's through libraries, it's through schools, it's through distribution to actual bookstores. And I think the lords and masters in the suit and tie offices looked at the numbers. They looked at the numbers.
Well, I think they looked at the numbers and they did a knee-jerk reaction. I think, you know, like mentioned before, this is a fairly new acquisition for AT&T.
Right.
And they put in a lot of money. I think it was $100 billion or I don't know the exact number, but it's a big one. There's lots of zeros.
Yeah, there's lots of zeros.
Yeah.
It's more money than you and I have.
Yeah. So they need a really quick return on their investment. And then suddenly there's a pandemic. And I think that and again, I don't know this for sure. I'm not an insider, but it feels like that it was oh my God, quick, do something.
Yeah.
The house is burning down. We should probably give a little bit of a brief backstory on what we're talking about. Just in case, I mean, most people who listen to this probably know what direct distribution is, but anyone who doesn't know, this is what we're talking about. For years, like when Brian and I were growing up, comic books were sold at newsstands, convenience stores, toy stores.
Spinner racks
and like comic book shops. Yeah, and there were comic book shops, but it wasn't like the place to go to get your comics. The only place to go, anyway.
Right.
In the mid-70s, that changed. Distributors began to make deals with the publishers to purchase comics directly from them and sell to comic book stores and specialty stores. And this was a good arrangement. The publisher, at the time, the market was in a slump. And B, products sold to newsstands and bookstores had a return policy. So unsold comics could be sent back for a refund. With direct distribution, these were non-refundable, so they didn't have to eat the cost of unsold issues. But this benefited the specialty shops because they could get their product faster, they had larger bulk discounts, and the non-returnable comics turned into a very robust back issue trade that brought in collectors and completists and a lot of foot traffic into those stores.
Right.
So at first, there were several direct distributors, and the new model took off. And by the 80s, it was a growth industry. And publishers like Marvel and DC, they started publishing a wider range of comics and comics for mature readers, specials, miniseries, things that they were reluctant to do with the newsstand model because of the return policy. But with the non-return policy, this made it more profitable. So we, as readers, benefited greatly from this. And it seemed to be... Yeah, at the time. And it seemed like a really workable thing. But then the 90s happened. There was a speculation boom, and it crashed, and out of the rubble, the only distributor left standing was Diamond.
Right.
And
that's... Well, because... And people forget that Marvel did this with Heroes...
Oh, yeah. That was a debacle.
Right. But people forget that Marvel tried to start their own distribution at some point as well.
Yeah, and that did not go well.
It did not go well, but, you know...
Well, I should mention, that was an incredibly truncated version of a very nuanced and complex subject. I mean, that can go back to... Back in the day, DC used to be a distributor itself. In fact, DC right. used to distribute Marvel Comics, which is an amazing thing.
It's... Yeah.
but, that, you know, that was back in the 60s. But anyway, that's the situation that we have, where essentially the only way to get the stores can get their comics is through Diamond.
Right.
And as we've seen, there's a flaw in that process because, you know...
Because Diamond sucks.
I was reluctant to go that far. no, Diamond has done some... Diamond has been... I saw it quote. I can't find the quote here, but they've been called a benevolent monopoly. Well, because they've let some places slide, and they've given people opportunity to take longer to pay, and you know, just understood who their market was, and worked with them. It's a really tough thing from my one kind of idealistic standpoint, where monopolies are bad and we should get rid of them, to this is really going to hurt a lot of, you know, independent small stores. You know, real people are going to be hurt by this. I don't know how to react to this.
I think the difficulty is trying to fit different ideologies and different preferences into they don't fit. That was
How to make your ideology?
Well done there, Reese.
Yeah, how to make your ideology fit with the real world?
Right. Is there a benefit to having a single distributor? Absolutely, 100%. It makes your life so much more easier, I think, as a business owner. Is there a benefit to opening up the pipeline? Yes. The contra to that, of course, is that the pipeline being opened up is, we could be cynical and probably justifiably cynically saying, yeah, well, we're open the pipeline, but the pipeline is being opened up by another corporation, and it's done for corporate greed.
Right. And then you get into exclusivity rights, where you can only get your DC comics from this one place, and you can only get your Marvel comics from here, and you can only get your Image comics from here. And essentially, you're getting into little mini monopolies.
Well, it's like what's going on with television now.
Right.
And so you have to subscribe to Apple Plus, Hulu, HBO Max, DC Universe, Marvel Plus, or Disney Plus, Peacock.
Peacock.
But it's similar to that, where now we can't just have cable.
Well, for years and years and years,
to 20 different channels to see, or CBS, you know, whatever the to watch our Star Trek.
Well, that's like, for years and years and years, I would always say, you know, I have cable, but I have all these channels I don't want. Why can't I just subscribe to the channels I want? Well, congratulations, I now have that. And I'm like, why do I have to subscribe to all these different channels?
Except you can't subscribe on your cable and pick and choose on your cable what you want for a price from a singular distributor.
Right.
you now have your you now have your one distributor where you get all your generic channels, and now you have to like pay all this extra at all these other channels that we asked for but didn't ask for quite this way.
Exactly.
Right?
So, and yeah, and that's kind of what I think we're seeing right now is we wanted the system to be different, but not this different, not this kind of different.
I think to your point earlier, though, to kind of pull back is, I think you're right. If DC had done this with a 6-month advance or a 3-month, heck, a 3-month advance, not a 2-week, you know, a 2 to 3 week advance notice.
Yeah. Just dropping it on everybody.
Yeah.
At a particular rough period of time.
And this isn't about quality of what they're putting out. This isn't about, you know, and so the quality of what they're putting out, we could argue till the cows come home. Apparently the cows come home.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty, you know, degenerate cows don't come home at all.
They stay out till hours.
That's right.
Cigarettes and drinking whiskey.
They're
carousing.
They're utter disgraces.
Yeah. Ooh. But, you know, we could argue the quality of the product. I hate it. Product.
It is what it is. You don't want to call it that, but that's what it is.
It is. You know, I mean, we could argue that, you know, Strange Adventures is great. Mm-hmm. The one issue we've gotten.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, but it's hard to argue the quality of a thing when there seems to be such cynicism coming from the top. And it's not just DC, because you know Marvel's gonna, and I'm just leaving that open, you know Marvel's gonna, but Marvel's watching this. I think, like, at the end of the day, should this have happened? Yes. I think it should have. I think it's fair for companies to look outside of Diamond. Should have happened in the way that this happened? No, probably not. That's as close as I'm going to come to an opinion on the matter. Like a solid opinion is, should this have happened this way? No. Did it happen? Yes. How do we deal with this? I don't know. I'm not a comic. I don't own a comic book store. I'm a fan. And I want to know how I'm going to get my hands on the comic books that I want to read.
Well, in the end, I think that's what's going to come down to, because the people buying the comics, they don't really care where they come from. They just know they want to buy a DC comic, and if they don't care which distributor it comes from.
But we care if our LCS doesn't have it.
Right. And that's kind of a selfish thing, a selfish way to be. And that puts another layer of burden upon these local comic book owners, comic book store owners. And it was just done in a very unfair way. It was a necessary change that was done in an unnecessary way. So that's it. This is us talking about something that is very complex and not having an opinion on it. But apparently we were able to talk for 30 minutes.
Well, I think we have an opinion, I think. Yeah. Our opinion has to be tempered until, because right now we're like everybody else and we're reacting in a very short period of time. And my hope is, you know what my hope is? That it works.
Yeah.
My hope is that it works. And my hope is that our LCSs can pivot and that comic books still can get in the hands of people that want it. It's kind of naive, but I hope it works. I am very worried that it will not.
Well, see,
that it was a bad decision.
Oh, I do think it was a bad decision, but we still need to see how it's going to play out. And I know the distribution, it's going to be a mess for a while. I think it will. The industry needed some change, needed something to shake it up. It's unfortunate that it had to happen in this way.
Yes.
But in the long run, I think it will be stronger for having a more diverse distribution system.
It's just a matter.
I could just be naive. I don't know.
Well, that's the same thing I'm saying is,
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to know. And again, like, I'm a DC guy, and I feel like this is a really cynical move by DC.
Yeah.
I think it's cynical. And I think
it is
all of my hopes and dreams. I think that it's not going to help.
Yeah.
I'm contradicting everything I just said, but the reality, the my real thoughts outside of the naivete is, I don't think this is going to help LCS's. I think it's going to help DC's bottom line in bookstores.
Well, yeah, we're going to see the rise in trade paperbacks, but.
Does that help?
As far as monthly periodical comic books, I fear for that industry. I don't. It's never going to go away.
And I'm and of the two of us, I'm the floppy guy.
Right. Insert joke here. Throwing that
out there for me once again.
Yes, but you know, there's still digital online distribution. There's still it's not going to go away. What I fear for is the. Range and diversity of those monthly comics. Wow. And maybe creators aren't going to get a chance to do some of the more, you know, wild and off the wall things.
I think we're not going to, we're wrapping up, so we're not going to discuss this, but I think several companies have already issued, several smaller comic book companies have already issued some statements. And I think those are worth looking up for that perspective.
Well, that's it.
We have offered you no help.
No, but it's something we've been thinking about, and it's something that is important to the medium that we love. And we'll keep our eyes on it. And thank God Twitter has been really rational about this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, thank whoever for social media to help guide us through these difficult times.
Exactly. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope this was entertaining. We're going to try to put out a couple of more of these bonus episodes when we don't have a real proper episode. But we'll be back as soon as we can with our Astro City
Woo!
Episode. Woo! Really looking forward to talking about that. But please let us know what you think about this subject. Contact us on Twitter at Collective.
I interrupted, but yes, please let us know, because I think there's so many great opinions out there and so many differing
feelings.
Yeah, I'm very interested in hearing from other folks about their experience with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am not an expert. I am just someone who loves the medium of comics, and I know more than some, but not as much as others. That's a way to put it.
People who actually know, like, business. Yeah. You know, economics and things like that.
Yeah. So I'd love, you know, so I'm not an expert, and I would love to hear from people who know more than me. So if you know, hit us up on Twitter. It's at Collected Ed Pod. That's Collected ED Pod. And yeah, just let us know what you think. And we'll be back as soon as we can with our Astro City episode. Until then, keep reading comics if you can.
And please, everybody, be as well as you can be.
Goodbye. You've been listening to The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast. The Collected Edition is a Daddy Elk production. All materials used on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. The show can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, as well as online at collectededitionpodcast.com, where comments can be left on individual episodes. You can also send us feedback at comments@collectededitionpodcast.com or on Twitter at @CollectedEdPod. That's Collected, EDPOD. The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast, is for entertainment purposes only.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nexus. Not the Nexus. We're not doing that one. No, we're doing a different one.
Can you do the man thing next? Or,
yeah. Okay, hold on.
And this we are. Wait. Sorry. I was trying to do an "Are you being sir?" And we are unanimous in this.
Indeed.
A shout out to Mr. Slocum.
Oh God, you actually like that show?
No.
Okay.
No,
good. Okay. Thank God.
But But I still got to give a shout out to Mrs. Slocum when I say we are unanimous in this.
Okay.
You have to leave that in.
Sure. Why not? Nothing like an Are You Being Served reference.
Right.
You know, for the kids.
It's no statement on the quality of this show. It's merely a statement on the fact that we all know exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly.